This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. We'll do our stream reports for both the trout and the bass for this coming year, the type fishing I do, the flies I use, the techniques I use. Our trout fishing is getting pretty demanding because the streams are very, very low. Basically, we just want to use a very cautious approach on all of them. Now, there are two requirements for me in my fly selection at this time of the year. The first thing I want to determine when selecting these flies, I want flies that will match the natural foods the trout are feeding upon. In many of these streams, the hatches are very, very sparse. So they're feeding primarily on terrestrial insects, and sometimes they're weird terrestrial insects. My second thing, I want to use patterns that are different than most people throw at them, especially if I'm fishing some of the heavily fished streams in Pennsylvania that know those trout know flies better than you and I do. So I want flies that have a different impression, different silhouette, different light pattern than what the fish would normally see. Now, I've developed what I'm calling a change of pace series. There are six dry flies in here that I use a whole lot at this time of the year. The oakworm is a very effective fly to use along parts of the stream where there's some down timber. These oakworm will kind of live under the bark. You pull a piece of bark off and all of a sudden they're oakworm falling all in the stream. That's how I came onto them to begin with. So the oakworm is going to be effective along a stream bank where you've got some old down timber. Now, the yellow jacket, which I found the hard way by getting stung by them, usually live in some of the sod banks along the streams. And believe it or not, these guys do end up in the stream. So the yellow jacket dry fly in about a size 14 and 16 that we're using now is in this change of pace series. Now, the wasp is just what it says. Now, most of these wasps that I see along the trout streams or where they're standing brush and that type thing, and it looks like a wasp. You'll know it when you see it. They flutter in the water. You can either fish them upstream dead drift, fish them upstream with a slight twitching action, but it does look like a wasp, and the fish feed on them like crazy. Now, the moth that I'm putting in this series does look like a moth. Often in the evening, you'll see a lot of these moths in the back eddies along the stream. They'll have a fluttering action, so I use the moth in about a 14, 16, fishing it upstream, dead drift, but with a very, very slight fluttering action. And that really is effective at dusk. Now, the horsefly is just what it says. These are going to be most effective in around pasture fields, where there are horses, cattle, that type thing, but amazingly, many of them fall in the stream, especially up in some of those Pennsylvania meadows. They are fantastic. Now, my favorite fly of this whole change of pace series is the one I call the house fly. Now, what I've done with this thing, and this originated on some of the heavy fish streams in Pennsylvania, the house fly I've designed with a different silhouette on the water, so it looks different than a beetle or a horsefly or anything else. I'm using a down wing on it. It looks like a real housefly that's fallen in the stream, but it produces an entirely different light pattern. And you can use it right where you've been using a beetle that didn't do what it wanted, put the houseflies on, and you're right on them. But now with all of these, you want to use a very cautious approach. I would definitely taper down to 6X and look for the rising fish. When I move into a pool or a meadow, on the Latorte or wherever I happen to be, I always look closely to see if I can see any rising trout. If I find rising trout, I go one-on-one with them. If I don't see any rising trout, then I just fish the bank. But I would probably, in most cases, nowadays with the water level we have, I'd go to the housefly in a 14 or 16. So that's what I'm doing and probably will be doing from now until fall on these trout streams. Let me look at the bass situation. I'm personally very, very excited about what we've got on the bass. I was in the bass North Fork of the Shenandoah, just a couple miles from where I'm sitting here in the fly shop. little baby bass. The bass fry are out now. They're almost 2 inches long, and there are huge numbers of these. So that speaks well for what we will be having here in the future. Great numbers over those. Now, I'm also catching large numbers of what I'm calling 3-year-old and 4-year-old bass. Last year, I caught more large smallmouth bass than any single year in the last 5 years. And I see no reason that that wouldn't continue this year. I'm going to divide this up a little bit, talking about floating the rivers, which a lot of people want to do, and how I'm doing it when I'm wading the river. Now, in floating the river, you've got to remember that we are going to scare some fish with our boat or a canoe or kayak, whatever you happen to be using. So I try to use the physical features that exist in the river to help hide my approach. For instance, aquatic grass beds. They're my first love. I never pass up an aquatic grass bed. In fact, I usually beach the boat when I see them come up, and I fish those by wading. Keeping the grass bed between me and the open water on the far side that I expect might be holding the bass. This is very effective on the James and especially South Fork of the Shenandoah. But I keep the grass between me and the area I plan to fish, and that's just been really my go-ahead. In fact, there's one place up on the Potomac I do this a tremendous amount. But use that grass bed to help hide your approach, and I really prefer getting out to wade them. Now, the rock ledges can serve that same purpose to hide you. For example, if we're floating down the stream, now I'm talking about ledges that run right up close to the surface or maybe a wee bit above it, that are running up and down the river, parallel to the current. What we do often in the boat is we'll kind of beach the boat right beside these ledges and fish into the protected water on the far side. Sometime I'll wade to do this, and sometime we'll do it in the boat. If it's a fast current, we use a high drift boat, and we just anchor the boat out there and fish across these ledges to reach back in there to cover that hidden water back in there. But that is very effective this time of the year. Of course, when you come to a good-looking riffle, you can either shoot through there and make a couple quickie gas, or, again, I'd prefer beaching that thing and fishing it seriously. Now, the flies that are real effective for us now that we're floating the river, I'm having real good success on the Olive Marauder in a 6, the Murray Skunk Roadkill in a 6, Shanks White Streamer in a 4, and on top water, the hands down, fly is the Shenandoah Blue Popper in a 4. Close second would be the Murray Chartreuse Bass Popper in a size 6. Now, that's what we're doing primarily when we're floating the river. Now, I get out of here at 5 or 6 in the evening. I've got plenty of daylight to go. I'm not going to fool with a boat or a canoe. I'm wading the river almost every evening. Now, this time of the year, when the river's getting low, I definitely prefer to wade upstream, fish upstream, and since I prefer surface fishing when I can get away with it, I'm going to go to some of the deer hair bugs. I personally can throw a deer hair bug, maybe 20% further than I can a hardhead bug. So I'm wading upstream, I'm casting upstream. Some of my favorite deer hair bugs are the Tapley green and white bug in a 6, the Murray's blue dragon in a 4, and the Shenandoah yellow popper in about a size 6. Now, what I do on these, I'm still maybe looking for those grass beds and looking for those ledges, but I'm going upstream so my telltales that I put out in front of me don't scare the bass. And shaded banks are my first choice. Around the grass beds, especially if there's water, say, hip deep on the outside edge of a grass bed, there are going to be bass lying back under those. So I'm going to wade upstream. I'm going to shoot my deer hair bugs along all those places. I'm going to definitely cover every foot of those shaded banks and work my way up. And I never want to go any finer than a 2X liter on that, because you'll twist it. It'll end up in a wad of twisted liter tippet material. You hit a big bass, you're going to leave it in his jaw. So I like the those bright butt leaders we do in a 9-foot 2X for this. They cast well, help me in strike detection. So that's what I'm doing for both the bass and the trout at this time of the year. And just keep in mind, the streams are low now, and they probably are going to get lower. If I can help you on any of this, ring me at the fly shop, 540-984-4212. I appreciate all your input on that, and just let me know how I can help you. Thank you a whole lot.